Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're looking in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We'll be studying verses 12 through 14. So if you have access to a Bible today, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3 and follow along as I begin reading in verse number 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." We have learned in chapter 3 that because of our position in Christ, risen with Christ, we are to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul tells us how to do this. In verse 5, we are told to put to death sensual sins. In verses 8 through 9, we are commanded to put off the deeds of the old man. That's who we were before we got saved. At the moment of salvation, we became a new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So now that we have put to death and we have put off all these things, it's time to put on our Christian clothes. So beginning at verse number 12, Paul tells us to dress for success. Verse number 12, he said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God." We need to remember what God has done for us. The idea that God has chosen us. You might not understand why God has chosen you. I certainly don't understand why God has chosen me. But the fact of the matter is that each and every believer needs to pause and consider what God has done for us by choosing us to become part of his family. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." My friend, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's almost impossible to wrap our minds around what God has done for us. Also in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, the Bible says this, beginning of verse 11, referring to Christ, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, that's a reference to the Jewish people in general. "But as many as received him," verse 12, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, notice verse 13, which coincides with the elect. Verse 13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." My friend, if you're saved today, it's all because of God. We cannot save ourselves. We have no hope in ourselves that we can do anything. There's no righteous acts that we can do that would ever earn us a place into heaven. If you're saved, it's because God chose you. The term holy, back in Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 12, The Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God holy. The word holy means to be set apart by God. So we're chosen by God, we're the elect. We're set apart by God, we're the holy. And I love this third word, and beloved means we are dearly loved of God. How in the world can God love a person like me, a sinner, an enemy of Him? And only God knows how bad that is. And yet He dearly loved me. And He loves you too, my friend. He loves you enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross that you might be saved. Put on, therefore, Christian, as chosen of God, set apart by God, dearly beloved of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. What's He talking about at the end of verse number 12? He's talking about character and values. When we dress for success, we think about what God has done for us, but then it's up to us to live out those character and value things that God has given us. David Jeremiah said this. He said, each of these virtues involves personal relationships. So when Paul told the Colossians to put on these virtues, he was telling them to put on the character of Christ. I like that. We are to put on the character of Christ. So we're going to go through this list briefly today. What is the character of Christ? What should my character look like according to the Scriptures? Well, he says here to put on bowels of mercies, to be compassionate. Now, naturally, we're not compassionate. We're to allow the compassion of God to flow from us. That's what bowels of mercies is, tender compassion. And then he says, kindness. Put on kindness. The word kindness means gentleness. Put on gentleness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How in the world can God forgive us for all the terrible things that we have done? He does it for Christ's sake. Christ paid the debt of my sin that I could never pay. God can forgive me for Christ's sake, because Christ has imputed His righteousness to those who have received Him as Savior. And one of the character virtues that we should each have as believers is not only that we should be compassionate, but we should be kind. Kindness can show itself in very simple ways, holding a door, saying a kind word. Anything that the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do towards another believer or towards another person in general, just to show the kindness and the gentleness of God. And then he goes on here in verse number 12 of Colossians 3. He says, bowels of mercies, kindness, and he says, humbleness of mind. He's talking about humility. And we have to be careful today. There's a lot of false humility out there. What does true humility look like? Well, David Jeremiah writes this, and he gives a good illustration concerning what humility looks like. He writes, on 9 separate occasions, the Bible warns us against being wise in our own eyes. When we're wise in our own eyes, we stop listening. We stop asking questions. We stop trying to learn. We think we know it all. And arrogance and pride take over in our lives. Then he tells an illustration. One day, some years ago, former football coach Tony Dungy picked up the phone and listened as a friend anguished over his troubled son. My son is depressed, and he talks about ending his own life. Could you call him, find a way to help him? Dungy, who had faced such a tragedy with his own son, agreed. Calling the young man, Dungy said, "My name is Tony. Your dad asked me to talk to you." He went on to tell the young man how much he had suffered when his own son, James, had taken his life. "You know, son," said Tony, "I don't know why God allowed my son to die, but maybe it was so that I could talk to you and tell you, don't do that to your daddy." Coach Dungy spoke to the young man every day for a week, and the long conversations helped the troubled youth. Finally, the young man said he was doing better and he agreed to get the help he needed. The two stayed in touch, and one day the young man asked, "Tony, what do you do for a living?" "Well, I'm a football coach," Dungy replied. "College or high school football?" Dungy said, "I coach the Indianapolis Colts." Only then did the young man know he had been talking to one of the best known and most respected leaders in the world of sports. Tony's entire focus had been helping the young man, and he would have done the same had he been an obscure and unknown man. His humility wasn't on show. It was just there. The Bible teaches us as believers that when we dress for success, we're to have bowels of mercies, tender compassion. We're to put on kindness, gentleness, but we're also to put on humbleness of mind, humility. The next on the list is meekness. It says in our scripture in verse number 12, humbleness of mind and then meekness. The word meekness means strength under control, the idea of gentleness as well. Two great examples that are listed in the scriptures. The first one is Moses, listed in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Moses was known as a very meek man. Yet when you study Moses was guilty of murder. He took down an Egyptian who was mistreating one of the Jewish slaves. He had to leave Egypt in fear of his life of Pharaoh. He came to a well of water, and there were some shepherds there that would not allow these girls who had brought their father's sheep. And Moses stood up to those guys, for he actually helped them water their sheep. And when they got home, their father said, "What are you doing home so quickly?" They said, "Well, there was a man," and they were referring to Moses. We have the example of Moses, but strength under control. The greatest example we have, of course, is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was very, very meek. So those are just some examples of meekness, and each and every one of us as Christians should have the character of meekness, strength under control. And then he says, put on long-suffering, bearing with one another. It's the idea of patience. Richard Mellick wrote, significantly, Paul focused on the individual who is to have patience rather than the one who caused the problem. The place to begin in any group tension is with oneself rather than others. Usually when there's tension, we want to focus on the person that's causing the problem. Richard Mellick is pointing out is that we need to control ourselves because that's the only person we can control. And so we need to be long-suffering. We need to be patient with one another. I want to share with you something David Jeremiah wrote. He tells a story here. Actually, he records a story that Kent Hughes told. He writes, "Kent Hughes told a story about this that made me laugh." He wrote, "In days before smoking was banned from airplanes and there were smoking and non-smoking sections on the plane, a man started to light a cigar. The flight attendant told him that he was not allowed to smoke a cigar unless it was all right with the other person in the immediate area. So she asked the lady sitting next to him, "Do you object to his smoking?" "I absolutely detest cigars," was the reply. The flight attendant then spoke to a young man who was seated near the front of the cabin and came back to report that he would not mind sitting next to a cigar smoker. As the cigar-smoking man walked forward to his new seat, his former seatmate, the boisterous woman, turned to the flight attendant and said, "I've been married to that man for 30 years and I still can't stand his awful cigars." Well, there's an example that we're talking about when we're talking about long suffering, bearing with one another. Then the next thing that Paul lists on the list of character qualities that a believer should have is forgiveness. Forgiveness. How do we do that? How does a Christian forgive others? The answer is quite simple, though the carrying out might be a little bit more difficult. But the answer is this: we're to forgive just as Christ forgave us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Why does God forgive us? Because Christ has forgiven us. We are to forgive just as Christ has us. Forgive for Christ's sake, unconditionally and freely, to extend grace. That is how we are to forgive. The Bible says over in the Old Testament, in Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 7 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." I want to read one more illustration from David Jeremiah, and this is what he wrote. How did God forgive us? For Christ's sake. He forgave us unconditionally. He forgave us freely. He didn't say, "I'll forgive, but I won't forget." The Bible says when he forgave, he threw our sins into the deepest part of the sea. That's what we read in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. And he says, as Corrie ten Boom said, he put up a sign saying, "No fishing." He put our sin behind his back as far as the east is from the west. That's found in Psalm 103, verse number 12. That is how we are to forgive, just as we are forgiven. Let's look up that verse in Psalm 103. I look that up in my Bible, and let's read that together. In Psalm 103, verse number 12. Here the scripture says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Listen, we don't deserve to have our sins forgiven, but for Christ's sake, God forgives them. And for Christ's sake, we need to forgive others who sin against us, just the same way that God forgave you and me. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And then when we're looking back in our text, Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now the word quarrel means a complaint or grievances. That if any man has a complaint or a grievance against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, that's a hard thing to do. Some people are hard to forgive. Do you think it was easy for us to be forgiven by others that we have hurt? Of course it was hard. And it's only through Christ that we can offer such forgiveness. Then he closes in verse number 14 in today's lesson. He says, and above all these things, all of these character values that he mentions, the bowels of mercies, the kindness, the humbleness of mind, the meekness, the long-suffering, bearing with one another, the forgiveness, all of these things, he says, but above all of these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, the maturity that God wants us to achieve. And it's all about a mindset of love. All of these things, these character values, are things that we are to exhibit in our lives because first and foremost, we have the mindset of love. Love is what motivates us to action. Love for God and others are the greatest commandments that the law has ever given us. This is what the Bible is talking about in the book of Mark. In chapter 12, beginning in verse number 29, when the Bible says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is what Paul is talking about. He's saying all these other things above them, this mindset of love, this charity, love in action, if you will. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read to you verse number 13. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in this verse. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I've shared this with you before, but the greatest definition I've ever heard, I think, for the word charity is love in action. And then the fruit of the Spirit also starts with love. And this is found in Galatians chapter number 5, beginning of verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and he begins to list all of these things, but the very first thing that he lists in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Love is the bond of perfectness. In other words, it's godly maturity. Not something that necessarily happens overnight, but as you grow as a Christian in the renewing of your mind, the washing of your mind by the water of the Word, and you're serving God, and you're doing what God expects you to do, you begin to grow spiritually mature. And when you get to that point, it's going to look like love, for that is the bond of perfectness. Kenneth Weiss put it this way, how completely divine love is fused with the other virtues as it binds them together into one harmonious whole and makes them usable. Doesn't matter where you are at in your life as a Christian. You might be a new Christian. You might be immature and have a lot to learn. You might be an old fellow like me and you've been a Christian for a while. It doesn't matter. Each and every one of our goal is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our mind and our soul. Let that love reach out to those around us that they can see the love of Christ in us as we extend to them that same type of love that God extended to us. May God bless us today as we attempt to reflect Christ in a world that needs Him.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.